final report is out from the Special Inspector General for Iraq Reconstruction. It concludes 8 years of looking at waste, fraud, and abuse on an epic scale. In all, the United States spent $60 billion on rebuilding Iraq. Stuart Bowen has led this oversight work since 2004. He told us some of the fundamental reasons, lessons learned from the whole effort.
The most important lesson is that the United States needs to reform its approach to stabilization and reconstruction operations so that the civilian agencies are better integrated with DOD, and thus that we plan and execute and account for such operations better in the future.
I guess the question is whether the United States will have such an incursion soon enough that these lessons would even still be remembered. Do you worry about that one?
Well, I hope we don't. We never have one as large as Iraq or Afghanistan, by the way, which is 50% larger, at least in funding, than the Iraq program. $90 billion appropriated for Afghanistan, $60 billion for Iraq. But the issue is not the size so much as the fact that stabilization and reconstruction operations are with us to stay. We've been involved in some form of such an operation virtually continuously since the early 1980s. And Bosnia was not a small operation. We spent several billion there, and it was hugely challenging. No, comparatively small and much less costly than Iraq or Afghanistan, but we may see the need to deploy the kind of resources that we've had to deploy in Iraq and Afghanistan again in the near future and perhaps in an operation in Syria.
So let's talk a little bit about what you said about integration between the Defense Department and other agencies involved,
yes,
in this case in Iraq. Where did we go wrong?
Well, in 2003, there was a decision made to effectively try to replicate what we did in Afghanistan, liberate and leave. That is, topple the tyrannical regime, provide some limited funding, about $2.4 billion. It was the initial appropriation in April of 2003, and to quickly install through an election an interim Iraqi governing authority. In May, that decision was reversed. We left behind the idea of liberate and leave, and instead embraced occupy and rebuild, and that led to a 9-year reconstruction program that required the appropriation of 25 times as much money, $60 billion, than initially anticipated. The key weakness is the core point of learning from Iraq, and that is we were not well structured as a government to carry out such an operations, and thus it was done on an ad hoc basis. What I've called an adhocracy evolved, number of agencies created just to execute these annual budgets, these annual programs, and it went on and on and on. Of course, the overarching issue in Iraq was the collapse of the security situation, and the virtual civil war that unfolded that had to be addressed through what came to be known as the surge in 2007.
I guess the piece I'm missing in my own mind is we invaded Iraq, we toppled the regime, and then 9 years of rebuilding, but we didn't wreck everything that we were rebuilding. So they had an operating country before we invaded. Why was there so much to rebuild in the first place?
A great question, Tom. It wasn't just the invasion. It was, a decade of sanctions that preceded it that had allowed the country to deteriorate, coupled with Saddam Hussein's own gross negligence and failure to spend his money to in the country, in investing in the country, and instead, as we know from the oil for food investigations, to corruptly dispose of it, and finally there were still significant problems that had endured since the 91 war that had not been repaired. So and then the looting that ensued in April aggravated everything, and that essentially left a broken country, a broken government that was barely functioning.
We're speaking with Stuart Bowen, the Special Inspector for Iraq Reconstruction. And with regard to establishing security first, I mean, how in a situation like that, how do you even begin to define security to the point where it's okay to rebuild?
Well, you're getting at my second lesson, which is establish sufficient security before building large projects. And I think that seems self-evident, I guess, at one level. But in Iraq, we tried to pursue large projects in a secure situation that was getting worse. And I think there's an inverse relationship between security and project size. The worse the security situation, the smaller the project should be. And as Secretary Nides told me, Deputy Secretary of State Tom Nides, when I interviewed him for the report, you know, bigger is not better. You know, we should start small, and Deputy Secretary of State Burns echoed that point. You know, we need to consult carefully with what the Iraqis want. That's another theme that came out from many interviews, and do what it is that they need, and not what we want. We sometimes, as Secretary Burns said, try to do it all and do it our way. And that turned out to be a bad strategy. And as a result, many of the projects we finished were not accepted by the Iraqis. Hundreds and hundreds of projects we just turned over unilaterally because they said, we don't want them. And that falls under the rubric of waste, certainly.
And looking at the reports you've written, and they're encyclopedic in length, the single image that stands out for me most is the light fixture that is filled with urine. I believe it might have been the embassy building.
That's the Baghdad Police College.
Baghdad Police College. That the plumbing, the infrastructure was so badly done that this is what happened, and there was a picture of it in that book. What, for you, exemplifies the worst of what happened here?
Well, I think that's one, but I would say the Fallujah wastewater treatment plant. Fallujah was a crucial strategic city, one of the largest Sunni cities in Anbar province in the west of Iraq, the most restive area early on, and it ended up costing three times as much, took three times as long, and is serving a third of the number of people targeted. But sort of the salt in the wound was that when we finally finished our piece, the Iraqis had not completed their piece, which was to connect the system to the houses. And so I guess when ribbon cutting time came, it didn't help anybody because it wasn't fixed. So we had to execute another contract to begin connecting the system to Iraqi houses in Fallujah. And then ultimately the Iraqis came in later and connected more. But it was emblematic in the sense that it continued to go forward in the midst of an extremely volatile security situation that Fallujah endured in 2004 and 2005 and into 2006. And that's the kind of project that you don't want to do when security is very bad.
Stuart Bowen is the Special Inspector General for Iraq Reconstruction. The Special Inspector General for Iraq Reconstruction has just issued the final report on the effects of $60 billion spent in that country. In part two of our interview with Stuart Bowen, who heads up the office, he answers questions including what comes now. Bowen said he interviewed 45 principals from the nearly decade-long effort for the last report, and we asked him if any of them would have the appetite to do this sort of work all over again.
I don't think anyone has the appetite for doing Iraq again, and I don't think we will. What I think we need to learn from Iraq is how we reform our system so that we don't have the recurrence of a very, very lengthy and expensive and costly in blood and treasure stabilization reconstruction operation. And it's very simple. You know, Occam's razor. If there's no system for good planning and execution, we need to create a system for good planning and execution. And it involves the civilian and military elements. And that is the core challenge. The Goldwater-Nichols in 1986 reformed the Pentagon's approach to warfighting very effectively, creating jointness among the military departments. Now we need to create jointness among varying U.S. departments, civilian and military, to achieve similar positive outcomes. That's a steeper climb.
And so what happens next for the Special Inspector General's office and for you?
We are busy pursuing over 60 cases, some very large ones that my investigators are working on today. We expect to secure at least 20 convictions before the office shuts its doors on September 30th this year, the end of this fiscal year. And we also expect to recover in excess of $100 million.
Can you tell us anything about those 60 cases or more broadly speaking, the problems that remain?
Sure. I can't give you specifics, but I can tell you that a number of them are 4 and 5 years old. They one large one involves a significant U.S. company involving a settlement potential recovery in the millions. A false claims issue. Another one involves significant contract fraud by a third country national. In the tens of millions, and then we have a number of bribe and kickback cases similar to those we've already solved.
For your office, what was the biggest challenge you would say in following all these various contracts and basically where the money went?
The fact that it was an adhocracy, that this was a constantly moving structure, that it started out, the first contracts were all managed by DOD. But for instance, let's just take the security contract at the beginning. They used a state contracting vehicle with DOD money, then executed by DOD trainers. So you had an interagency system, but really no smooth flow of contract oversight or contract execution. And as a result, as our audit of that contract revealed, there was over $1 billion that was vulnerable to waste and fraud. And that's just one example of many wherein the interagency didn't function well. You know, Ambassador Hill told me in my interview with him that there was a bureaucratic conflict of cultures among the agencies working in Iraq. And that's really what this report seeks to address when it suggests reform to help provide unity of command and thus unity of effort, so we don't have the recurrence of that kind of crazy contracting that occurred early on in Iraq.
Crazy contracting, that is not an iPad game. Stuart Bowen is Special Inspector General for Iraq Reconstruction. We'll post both parts of this interview along with links to that final report at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.